Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Wholehearted Leader. I am your host and guide, Lance Howard. Today, I'm honored to bring you Julie Baumgartner, Senior Director of Windshape Marriage. Julie loves all things marriage and family, and it comes from her own experience of trying to navigate life after her parents' divorce. Her passion to help people create healthy, vibrant relationships has taken her on an incredible 35-plus year journey from counseling teens and at-risk couples to speaking nationally and internationally, creating classes and resources for married couples, hosting a television show, and writing a weekly marriage and family newspaper column. She came to the Windshape Foundation in 2021. It was her dream job, giving her the chance to openly share her faith while working with talented, multi-faceted team. Together, they build experiences, retreats, content, and resources that not only support couples in every stage and season of marriage, but they help them grow in their marriage relationship and their relationship with God. When Julie isn't working, you'll likely find her on a crazy fun adventure with Jay, her husband, playing in her flower garden, riding a horse, or baking something yummy for her family and friends. Friends, I hope you will stay around for the entire conversation because I know that this will help you thrive in your marriage and your team and your organization. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Julie. Well, welcome to another episode of the Wholehearted Leader. I am with Julie Baumgartner today, a Senior Director of Windshape Marriage. And I know that you will thoroughly enjoy our conversation and hope that it helps the entire audience listening today. But Julie, thank you so much for being here. And I look forward having a meaningful conversation with you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
So Windshape, I know everybody in the Atlanta area knows about it. But in general, for those that aren't listening, maybe just help provide for those that don't know what Windshape is, provide context on like what Windshape is and some background on like why this conversation might even matter, because Windshape is very significant to a lot of people. So maybe help us just understand like Windshape and why Windshape for those that have no idea.
Okay. Windshape is a Christ-centered nonprofit organization that was founded about 40 years ago by Truett Cathy, who is also the founder of Chick-fil-A. Originally, it started as a ministry to help young people who were actually employees for him to get a college education. And from there, it grew into some additional ministries, including Windshape Camps, which provides camps for kids during the summer, both residential camps and then day camps all over the country. Windshape Homes, which we have 10 group homes in Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia. We also have foster care, so foster training for couples who are willing and interested in fostering children who have had a disruption in their home, which is near and dear to my heart. And then we also have Windshape Teams, which is leadership development, and Windshape Marriage, which is a retreat-based ministry that is designed to help couples grow closer to each other and closer to the Lord. And so we have all of these ministries under one foundation. We're located in Rome, Georgia, which is about an hour and a half outside of the Atlanta area. We are on 27,000 acres. We're actually on the campus of Berea College, which is the largest college campus in the world. So we're in just this place that I call a taste of heaven. You drive down a 3-mile stretch of road to actually get to retreat. And every time I do it, I feel like I just kind of exhale. And man, the opportunity to be here, work here, experience God here is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had the pleasure, I guess it's almost 6 years ago when Matt Turvey was in charge of your role or similar role.
Right.
And I was just blown away by Windshape, right? Being from Texas, it's not as common to us, especially if you're in the
Yeah.
Southeast region. Wind shaped
Yes.
camps are a very common thing for families out there.
Yes.
But you truly do get to work on heaven. Like
Yeah.
it's just like a beautiful place,
Yes.
for
Set
sure.
apart, for sure.
Yeah,
Set apart.
absolutely. So, Julie, let me ask. This is normally the first question, but I've already jumped into the first question. So, this is normally the first question, and I'm going to just jump into it. What was the last date that Jay, your husband, took you on? And what does it say about maybe y'all's marriage and how, whatever it was, how he pursued your heart, or maybe just provide some context about possibly what y'all's last date was?
Well, we actually just got back from a week-long date.
Okay.
We went on a sailing experience on the world's largest sailboat.
Nice.
And it's, so I'll answer that twofold
Okay.
because I would say that was a very intentional opportunity for us to get away and to pour into each other. I'll add to that, I was actually talking with some couples not long ago, and I said, you know, when you say in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, all those things, you don't know what the future holds. And I came off of my horse. I was bucked off of my horse January 8th, and I have had a very long recovery. And that has meant that I can't bend over, I can't reach, I can't hold heavy things. So I have not been able to do laundry. I have not been able to vacuum. I have not been able for a long time. I really couldn't grocery shop or anything like that because I couldn't walk very far. And it was not lost on me. In fact, it really brought me to tears. No complaints from him. Really just step up and whatever needed to happen, he just was very caring towards me for this whole entire time. And I am much better at this point, not completely healed, but man, I'm on the other side of not being able to walk. And so it just makes me think that on the daily, he has been doing things that have been intentional, that have been pouring into me and have spoken, I love you, I care about you, and we're in this together. And boy, I mean, that means a lot.
Absolutely. So y'all been married, I could be wrong, based on what I found, I think 40-ish years.
35, 35 years.
35. Well, it said getting close to 40 years. And I was like, well,
Yeah.
what does that mean? So
Yes.
almost 40 years, 35
Yep.
years to be
Getting up there.
exact.
Yep.
A lot of wisdom to share with us. And as you shared, just Jay, just modeling. Right, just really just emptying himself
Yes.
in
Yeah.
times that sometimes it's just not really easy to enter ourselves in that type of way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
What
even saying thankful and being grateful, I think is a, I mean, I have said that numerous times to him. We don't have a perfect marriage. I think we have a healthy marriage, and that's what we strive for. But I have said to him numerous times, just I'm so grateful for everything that you have done, and you haven't done it in a way of, oh, this is so not what I want to be spending my time doing right now. So.
Right. Let's go there for a minute. How would you describe to someone a sense of being selfless in their marriage and serving versus this idea of also being able to hold on to themselves in an honorable way as well? Because sometimes I think we lose ourselves with this mindset of, oh, you got to die to yourself. You got to be selfish or got to be selfless. So how would you describe how you experience that and how you actually help marriages walk through that difference?
Well, I think, when you think about being made in the image of God and your spouse is made in the image of God and you are here with purpose. So I think about coming together, the two shall become one. I think about that means you bring all of you and your spouse brings all of himself to this marriage. And together, God has called us to figure out one, how do I help Jay accomplish what he's purposed to do here on this earth now? And the same for me. And in that means you can't leave yourself behind because he's given you uniqueness, a skill set, just a brain that is very uniquely you. And the calling is to use that to glorify him. So definitely not leaving yourself behind. And I think probably when you talk about selflessness, one of the things that comes to my mind is in order to do married well, in order to come together and be one, you got to show up as the healthiest version of you. And that means taking care of you, not expecting your spouse to read your mind to know what you need, what's helpful, that you're stressed, that work is hard, or things are complicated right now. It means being willing to truly be all in for the marriage relationship. And so it requires conversations around what I really need right now is just for you to listen to me talk about whatever's going on. I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm just asking you to listen. I think we've laughed more times than I can count. I'm an external processor, so I come in, I start having conversation, and Jay starts giving me solutions, and I'm like, no. Sorry, I should have prefaced this with, I'm not really looking for solutions. I think I'll get there. I just need to be able to talk out loud. So would you be willing to just engage with me in conversation and listen to me as I kind of try and figure it out? So I think having those kinds of conversations and remaining curious, even 35 years in, we still try to be very intentional about being curious about each other because it's easy to say, oh, I know what you're thinking. I can finish your sentences. And you start making assumptions. And if there's anything that can get you sideways quickly, it's making assumptions about what your spouse is thinking.
For sure. Well, let's take a moment and take a step back about why marriage is even important to you. Like, why does your heart beat so much for marriage? If you can just help rewind, whatever that Genesis story is for us.
Well, I can totally tell you. I grew up in a home where if my friends were actually sitting here today with me, they would tell you, oh yeah, we thought that the Munns family was the perfect family in our community. And I have a sister who's 5 years younger than I am, and then a brother who was 2 years older than me. My brother was 95% hearing impaired and functioned at about a first grade level. Throughout my growing up years, I was very much a daddy's girl. So, I mean, he could have said jump, and I would have said how high. So I was really shocked at 17 when I was getting ready to head off to college. I was in my senior year of high school, and I can remember my father coming into the house and sitting all of us down and telling us that he was leaving. I mean, that was devastating, period. But what I didn't understand at that moment in time was that he meant that he was leaving all of us, literally leaving and starting a whole new life. And that will rock your world. For me, I had already decided I was going to major in psychology. I thought I was being called to actually go into counseling and help families who had children with special needs. And when all of this happened, I really felt like the Lord was taking me in a different direction to work with families, marriages, and families to help them understand tools and how to actually navigate marriage. I think so many people come into marriage and think, oh, if I have my quote unquote soulmate, then we're going to be able to make it over the long haul. And I just think that's a misnomer that culture has put into play. And what we know based on a lot of research is that if you have tools like communication and understanding that conflict is actually very normal in a marriage relationship, and it's how you manage it that really makes the difference. Having truthful, accurate information to help people navigate and really going to the word. What does the word say? We can take scripture and look at it. And I think it's so interesting. For a long time, I worked for a secular organization based on Judeo-Christian values, and people would say to me, how can you do this? And I said, because if you look at credible research and you look at the word, they go hand in hand. Truth is truth. So I think that there's intentionality there in terms of helping people understand how to navigate that. And I have felt very strongly, if I could help anybody to not experience the pain that I experienced as a child, and also that I watched my parents experience, it was awful, just really awful. And so I thought I'll spend the rest of my life doing that. So that's my why. And I actually helped to launch a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening marriages and families. And then have had the opportunity to be here at Windshape. And I really consider it an honor and a privilege to walk alongside people and to share truth with them, because there's so many messages out there that sound great, but they're not rooted in biblical truth.
For sure, for sure. So many questions to get to with that as a little foreground for us. In the service-based world that you and I exist in, coaching, counseling, helping people become whole, oftentimes, just as you described, it's out of our own woundedness that it's like we start pursuing this sense of like, I want to be an advocate and a champion on
Yes,
behalf of
right.
somebody that has a similar story that I have, right? However, I've known in my story that there's a transition space somewhere that happens between like, okay, now I can begin to give out of a wholehearted place versus like probably for the first part of a season, you're actually like, oh, I'm the one that actually needs all this training, right? And I just happen to be getting my intern hours, but I'm actually the one becoming whole. So
For sure.
how would you describe that experience of like maybe a tipping point of when you notice and transition of like your wholeness rising up, and then you were actually to able to serve in a different way?
I do think that part of it was the internship and the practicum that you have to do as you're doing your graduate work that helped me to look at myself, because you naturally go, goodness, did I play a part in that? Was I to blame? Why would your biological father not want to be in relationship with you? And so coming to terms with how do you be healthy around that, I can talk about so many men that God clearly put in my path to stand in the gap for what I was missing in terms of a dad. And then just the opportunity, I think the actual opportunity to learn, to see, and to know. Both my husband and I are children of divorce. And I told him, I really credit God allowing me to be part of First Things First, which was the organization that I helped to launch, and to learn all these things. Like, I was reading all kinds of things about the impact of fatherlessness on children and the impact of marriage, and healthy marriage is like wrapping a security blanket around your children when you are thriving and flourishing in your marriage relationship. And so I was learning all these tools as we were growing in our marriage. And I feel like that was absolutely one of the greatest gifts ever, because it helped us to navigate and to understand, oh, this is normal. And we can ask for help. And it like we're there's nothing wrong with us as believers or as a couple that we're experiencing these things. This is a normal challenge that you go through as you experience the seasons of marriage.
What have you been able to shift, both you and Jay coming from, broken homes, divorced homes? How has your legacy been able to shift now that you're, I'm not going to say on the other side of it, right? Because, like,
No,
right,
no.
we're all still
On the journey.
on a journey and maturing. So,
Yes.
but how have you and Jay been able to shift that legacy? And maybe what are two or three things that come to mind that you're like, you know what, we did this really, really well.
I would say, for one, at the beginning, we just had the conversation, and I said, if you're willing to entertain divorce, I can't do that. Because I've already experienced it and I'm not going to do that. And so just deciding that we're all in, we will figure it out. Making that decision and not kind of leaving a window cracked. Well, if it gets hard, if it gets complicated, if we're angry at each other, then I can always jump out the window. We just decided, no, we'll figure it out together. So I think that is foundationally one. I think working really hard to keep God at the center of our marriage. Neither one of us are perfect. You could talk with Jay, and he can tell you all about the fact that I stack, and that I'm really driven, and I have boatloads of energy, and I can wear him out. But and I can also, I can talk from my perspective, and yet recognizing that that's part of the mystery, is God has said, hey, I want you to come together and I want you to figure out how to love each other well in spite of the things. And just recognizing that it isn't about perfection. It's about seeking to grow closer to him and acknowledging that my spouse is made in the image of God, as am I. And I have a responsibility in that to come alongside Jay and for him to come alongside me. And so I think that we have worked really hard to model a healthy relationship for our daughter. I can remember when she was getting ready to graduate from high school, we said, Ashley, you're getting ready to graduate from high school, and your parents, we're not just still married, we really like each other. And she's like, that's awesome. And I'm like, no, this is a really big deal. She still laughs about that, but being intentional about modeling a relationship that looks fun and inviting, and that you might want to have one like that. I think we were really all about, I don't want our marriage to be boring. I don't want it to look boring. I
Sure.
don't want us to look like we're not happy with each other, because we are. So those things I think probably would be foundational to what we've done through the years.
The non-negotiables
Yeah.
are
Yeah.
so
So
important
important.
in relationships. It creates a
Yeah.
safety net for
Yes.
sure.
Yes.
What I find very intriguing about something you just said is, and John Eldridge, I've had him on the podcast a while back, and he said
Love
the
him.
very, very same thing. Like, you have to create elements of fun because, like, even going back to what you said, is that like we live in this culture that we're striving towards perfection of something
Yeah.
that the world has defined.
Yeah.
And with that, we totally lose the sense of joy and adventure
Yeah.
and fun,
Yes.
which totally describes why you're at Windshape, because you get to have tons of fun these days.
Well, and it's hysterical that we're having this conversation, because I'm getting ready to lead a retreat called Play with Purpose.
Perfect.
And the reason we created the retreat is because so many adults are so busy adulting that they have forgotten how to play, and play is so vital. But I was laughing because I was talking with Jay just this morning, and I said, I was thinking about, like, he is a party waiting to happen all the time. Like, you just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. So we laugh a lot. But I came from a home that was much more serious, very structured, very perfectionistic, not a lot of laughter. And so we were kind of reminiscing and laughing about the fact that I've come a long way. I mean, I took myself way too seriously. I just didn't know how to appreciate the fun. And he has helped me to do that. And it has made my life and our lives so much richer as a result.
Well, I want to ask you here in a moment about some of that drivenness, starting your own nonprofit and then the transitional space that you went through a few years ago to come to Windshape. But before we completely like leave this marriage conversation, what are you seeing, experiencing, your boots on the ground, leading retreats? Like, what are some of the most pressing challenges right now happening? And like, what is Windshape's role in facilitating a path forward?
I would say busyness. Busyness and feeling the pressure, like the peer pressure for you to be involved in all kinds of things, for your children to be involved in all kinds of things, so much so that you have no bandwidth left for connection as a couple, connection as a family. I spend a lot of time talking with people about having regular conversations about what's our capacity, especially if both people are working outside the home. It's just critical that you have ongoing conversation around what is our capacity in this season and making decisions around who gets to participate in what. I recently had a conversation with a couple. They have three children, and if all three kids each participate in an activity, it's just like taxi all the time and nobody's together. And I said, well, you might think about letting them take turns, because that's a really great life lesson to learn, that you don't get what you want all the time exactly when you want it. Two, it gives you the opportunity to cheer on your sibling and to understand what it looks like to not be selfish, to share and to support and encourage. And three, it helps you appreciate when you do get the opportunity to do something. So I think giving parents permission to say no and not feel guilty about that, because it's actually in the best interest of their family. I talk all the time about, you know your children better than anybody else knows them. And so you making decisions about what after school looks like or the intensity of what they're going to participate in, that's your decision as a parent. And the other thing that goes into that equation is, what do you all have capacity to do and still make sure that you have time to play together and you have time for connection? Because, I mean, that is the thing that couples cite when they talk about getting divorced, is a lack of commitment, lack of connectedness. And the way that that happens is the culture says, oh, when children come along, children become your first priority, and your marriage just needs to take a back seat, and you can pick that back up when they're gone. Except for when they begin to leave the nest, you're looking at each other going, I'm not even sure why I married you, because it doesn't seem like we have anything in common. So the connectedness all the way through is absolutely vital. And that's not a if we have time for it. It is a, we are going to make time for this. We're going to put it on our calendar as a very important appointment together, whether it's going out for date night, like we just talked about, or some other type of play, or just making time to take a walk and just catch up with each other. That is what I am seeing people really struggling with today.
It's the enemy of the frantic family,
Yeah,
right?
tyranny of the urgent, right?
And even last night I had the conversation with somebody and they're like, I hear y'all doing summer basketball. And I'm like, no, like we just do one sport. Like that's it. Like I don't need to do another sport. Like it's just one sport for one season. But for people that are living in that sense of tyranny, that sense of anxiety, that sense of like performing for everybody else. How do you coach them and lead them in a way to come back to a core? Because in my experience and talking with coaching so many leaders, it's like Man, they're just trying to get through week to week to week. They're not even
Yeah.
thinking
No.
long range beyond
Oh,
30
no.
days, much less 90 days.
No. They're on autopilot.
Yeah, and so the slow drift of a marriage, you don't like wake up one day and have an affair, but I think it's these the enemy of busyness that is happening. So how would you walk somebody through, or a couple through, like actually like slowing down beyond this tyranny to come up to a higher elevation?
I think one is just the opportunity to have the conversation around what brings you joy. Most of the people that I talk to who are what you describe, they will say, I wouldn't tell you I'm happy. I wouldn't necessarily tell you that I feel fulfilled. I think I'm going through the motions of just trying to get by and survive. And I keep telling myself it'll get better. Well, we all know that nothing gets better by just waiting for it to happen. You have to be intentional about making decisions to do some things differently. And that's where I think having a conversation together around first, what do we want for our marriage? What do you want for your marriage? Because everybody I talk to, they'll say, I want a deep and abiding friendship. I want a love that is fearless in that we can tell each other things, and I know you have my back, and we're willing to work hard together. Dreaming about the future. When you're in the throes of raising children, if nobody says to you, hey, think about your future, nobody's thinking about that because they're like in the moment. So if you can stop and breathe and take some time to just dream, what do you want for your marriage 6 months from now? If you could have it like you dream about it being, what would that look like? Most people will say, I'd love more time together. I would like the opportunity to go do some fun things. I'd like to just hang at home sometimes and do nothing. And then the question becomes, what keeps you from doing that? And most of the time they'll say, well, it's the kids' sports, it's the extracurricular activities. And then the question is, says who? Who has to do that? Who says that you have to do those things? And as you start asking the questions, there's a realization that often takes place. Oh my goodness. We've actually let the world tell us what makes sense for us and for our children. And that's an enlightening moment to find out, oh my gosh, we actually have the opportunity to set our course, to make some intentional decisions, and to do some things differently. And I will say that in 2019, I can very vividly remember having conversations with people that said, oh, I just want to get off this merry-go-round. I would give anything in the whole wide world to get off this crazy merry-go-round. And then they were forced off of the merry-go-round. And some people just thrived in it. They were like, we were in our backyard. We were playing. We did things we haven't done together in years. It was beautiful. And others really kind of freaked out, and it magnified the issues that they were facing. And so back to your question, I think the way that that works is to sit down and have conversation around how would you like things to be, and what's one move that you could make in that direction to help you get there. I think sometimes it's overwhelming, and that's what stops people from doing anything, is that they start thinking about the 20 things they have to do in order to change, and that overwhelms them. So my word of wisdom would be choose one thing to do differently. And it could be as simple as we're going to find time to take a walk together for 15 to 20 minutes every other day. And if that seems insurmountable, okay, try twice a week. And if you get to twice a week, then add a third time in there and just see how that changes things.
It reminds me of the beginning part of our conversation, right? The idea of ultimately you're giving yourself permission to show up and be you.
Yes. Best version of
But
you. Yep.
right, but we're not doing that. Like, right, you
No.
see, like, right, we're giving everybody else, whether it's our work, our kids, whatever their external things are. And something I've stumbled upon recently, and people are finding it helpful, is like, what does it feel like to take up more space in the world? Like, right, as they begin to take these steps to live a large life that God has created them to live in. And then they can create boundaries that provide more health and flourishing for them and their family ultimately.
Truly, yes.
I want to ask you about what is it like to be driven, starting your own nonprofit, having a successful marriage, and just kind of more particular, like, how did you navigate even like leaving the nonprofit you founded, coming to Windshape, and maybe just kind of give us some context and story around that part of who Julie is.
The nonprofit actually was the brainchild of five businessmen in the Chattanooga area. And there were two of us that launched the nonprofit, the original executive director and myself. And several years in, I became the president and CEO of the organization. And we really were all about helping people to have healthy marriages and healthy relationships. I can remember telling my husband right when we started, I just can very vividly remember saying to him, wouldn't it be just like the evil one to lead me to believe that everybody else's marriage and family is more important than my own? And he nodded his head because I know how driven I am. And I know that when you feel called, you feel like, oh my goodness, like I need to do this. I need to be all about it. But what our conversation entailed after that comment was, how will we guard our marriage and family? Because I don't ever want my husband or our family to feel like they come in second to the work that I'm doing. And so we put up guardrails. And I think that is one thing that I learned, I think from other people, is you have to put up guardrails for yourself to make sure that in your drivenness, you're not neglecting the most important people in your world. So I'd say that one. Two, clarity around purpose. My husband would tell you that as we grew together as a couple, as he watched me work, he said one of the proudest moments for him was recognizing that God allowed him to be married to me to help me accomplish the purposes of helping people have healthy marriages and healthy families. And he said, you know, I feel like that is a gift from God that has enormous responsibility with it. And he said, I will walk this road with you and do everything I can to help you be all that God has called you to be. And I have felt the same for him. And as we have walked the road of marriage, as we have both had careers, as we have made decisions, even making the decision to leave First Things First and come to Windshape, we both looked at each other and I said, this is for sure an us decision. I mean, I know that goes without saying, but I'm just going to verbalize it and say, it can't just be me being excited and feeling like I've got the green light to do this. I think you have to also hear from God that, yes, this is something that we're supposed to do because it's a together kind of thing. And we just agreed that if either one of us felt like that there was a caution light or a red light about me moving forward in that process of interviewing for this, that we would stop. And that I think that has served us well over time. We've done that with career offerings that Jay has had, just thinking through what's in the best interest of our family, what makes sense, and even being driven. I understand I have a lot more energy than Jay, and that doesn't mean it just means he's different. It doesn't mean he's deficient. And also looking at me, it doesn't mean that I'm weird because I have all this energy. It just is who I am, and I can just carry a lot and have a full bouquet and run. I was talking with a coworker this morning, and I said, you know, when I feel like I have this full bouquet, it's like I'm edgy, but edgy in the best way. I'm the most productive, the most creative, the most excited. And when I don't have that full bouquet, I feel like I'm kind of dull around the edges in terms of what I accomplish because I it's just, yeah, it's different. So.
That's good. It seems like there's a, if I pull a thread through our conversation, just the idea of purpose, right? Like if you don't know your purpose and unable to articulate it, then it's going to be super hard to make wise decisions, one for yourself, for your family, and especially the ongoing decisions that executive leaders are making. And especially right when you're changing careers and leaving something that you love. Could you say more about what you've learned or things that you picked up from other people about like healthy discernment and how you can maybe share some wisdom around that as well?
Well, I do think that spending time in prayer, and I usually circle up. We circle up the people close to us who know us really well. So they're not yes people, they're truth tellers. They're willing to ask the hard questions. They're willing to pray over us, with us. They're willing to think through, you know, does this make sense? Does it, you say it feels like a calling. So as you think through what you will be doing, how do you see the Lord calling you to this? And I can just remember going to a board member to tell them that I was going to take this role, and they looked at me and they said, "Is there anything that I could do to convince you to stay?" And I said, "No, because I'm really clear. I recognized as we started praying that there were things that had been happening in the year leading up to this interview process, that looking back, I was like, oh my goodness, God has been preparing me for this for a year." And I had noticed some things, but just, I don't know, hadn't really paid that much attention, hadn't given it that much credence. But I realized that saying no and staying would have been disobedient. And I've been disobedient before, and I don't want to do that again. It didn't work well. So, I think, I really do think having as a couple prayer time to discern, Lord, what are you telling us? Looking at scripture, gathering in those closest who know you well and are willing to speak truth to you, over you, pray for you, and walk the road with you has been a part of our discernment journey. Like, we haven't done it by ourselves. And I have never gone to Jay and said, "This is what we're doing." And he has never done that with me. We have both said, "I feel like God is calling me too." And then we've both been like, "Well, okay, we need to be about praying about that because he needs to show both of us the way forward." And that's I think that that's been part of an amazing journey and marriage story for us, is really going back and being able to pinpoint times that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God led us to do these things, be involved in these things, make these changes. And some of them have been really hard, really hard. I don't regret them, but they've been hard.
It's important to let trusted advisors to speak truth in us and be aware enough to like, am I self-protecting or like why don't I even have people in my life that can speak into it? For sure. So Julia, I don't know the next time I'll see you. I know we're doing this via Zoom, and I don't have a trip planned to Windshape right now, but let's just suppose I see you in a year from now. Who do you want to say like that you've become over the next year?
I am always, I think I'm a lifelong learner. So I'm always seeking to be a better leader, to be a better spouse, a healthier spouse, just paying attention to how am I engaging with Jay? And so as our marriage is growing, even at 35 years, I want our marriage to be in a different place next year than it is today. So we're kind of dreaming about what does this next year hold. Jay just retired from a job that he's had for 35 years, and we call it retooling because he's not just sitting at home, although he jokes about that. He's really figuring out, Lord, what are you calling me to? And he's amazing with men's discipleship. He's really an incredible coach. And so we are praying about, Lord, what do you have for us? Where do you want us to join you in your work, both just Jay by himself and then as a couple? And so I will hope that when you see me in a year, we're having conversations about where God has taken us in this new time, where things look a bit different, and that just I'm continuing to be the leader that the Windshape Marriage team and the foundation as a whole needs to help us all grow and be what God is calling us to be collectively as a team and as Christ followers.
That's good. I'm going to land this plane here in just a moment with one or two closing questions. But Julie, what have you learned about yourself just in our 40-minute conversation here?
What have I learned? I love life. And when I think about the things that God has allowed me to experience, I am who I am today as a result of the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. My life is rich. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. I'm super aware that I don't do things perfectly as a human being or as a spouse. But the fact that I'm aware of that and I'm paying attention to it is a good thing. And it keeps me engaged with how do I continue to grow? And how do I continue to be the spouse that I really want to be for Jay? And I am blessed. I am very blessed, and I don't ever want to take that for granted. I get to do something that I'm super passionate about, and it fuels my tank every day. It never gets old. People ask me, aren't you tired? And I'm like, well, sometimes I might get physically tired, but at the same time that I'm actually, a little bit tired, I'm also so pumped up because I just love engaging with people and walking the road with them and learning from them, sharing what I know. It's kind of like one beggar giving another beggar food.
Good. Would you leave us with maybe one or two resources, something you're listening to or a book that you're finding helpful, but possibly somebody listening today could also find helpful?
Okay, well, so I just happen to have this book here because I've been working on it. Matthew Sleeth's 24/6. Have you read it?
I have not.
It's about Sabbath. And he makes this comment, when something's missing, you don't know it's missing. And I'm thinking about play a lot. And I would recommend that book because he does a really nice job of talking about how we think just more is better. And we need to keep on going. And Sunday's just another day. And even if it can't be Sunday, because I know a lot of people in ministry, Sunday is work, but Monday could be Sabbath or Friday could be Sabbath. We have to figure that out. But that's a book that I am enjoying and thinking, man, this is good food for thought. I want to pay
good.
Attention to that.
Good.
And then, gosh, I'm reading a lot of books at the same time. Brad Wilcox just came out with Get Married. So I'm reading that because I want to see the latest research on that. And then Arthur Brooks' Strength to Strength, I think is really good. And I'm in the middle of that. So, I've got a lot of things going on.
That's great. And WinShape just launched a marriage podcast, I believe, if I saw that information correct.
We did, yes.
Very
excited
love
about
it.
That,
So
the WinShape Marriage Podcast. So, yes.
Tune into that as well.
Yes.
You know, the interesting thing about slowing down and rhythm and 24-6 book and our club, you know, our in the South. Look all the way to May to get it on the calendar.
Yeah.
And all that to say, like, lock arms with people who are moving in the same direction, because
yes.
It is difficult sometimes to do these things alone.
Oh,
Even
yeah.
With even with your best intentions, just say, hey, let's experiment with this together.
Yeah.
Julie, I know one of our conversations last year, there were big dreams and ambitions for you for WinShape. And would you just maybe close with like what's on the horizon and how do people tap into the resources that you have available?
Yes, I would love to. We're on Instagram at WinShape Marriage, and there's a lot of really great resources that we put out on our Instagram page. So that's a great place to pay attention. Also, our website, winshapemarriage.org, has blogs, and we've really been trying to pay attention to what people are asking us for. They're telling us what they need, and we are responding by creating podcasts on the topics or actually creating blogs. Or a lot of people have said, we're so busy, we're not creative. So we don't have creative ideas for date night. We don't have creative ideas for conversation. So we have conversation starters. And I mean, for every season, you name it, we've got them. Just visit the website, you can find them. Date night ideas, fun, funny, not expensive, too expensive. I mean, just lots of options of things that you can do. So that's a great resource. And then certainly the retreats here at WinShape, we've got marriage enrichment opportunities every weekend, practically from August to May. We take a little break during the summer because we have lots of children up here for camp. So that's fun. That's our creative time. And then we have rest and renewal opportunities for senior pastors, ministry leaders, and international missionaries, where they can come here for a week and be with people who are doing similar work. So all senior pastors or all ministry leaders, international missionaries, coming and receiving rest and a renewal experience. I've had people look at me on Friday. They arrive on Monday and leave on Friday, and they will come to me on Friday and say, I really came here not having any idea what to expect. And this has changed my life. It's a marriage experience. So that's a little bit unique in that most people will offer R&Rs, but it's for the person in ministry. And this is really for the couple. But that's on our website, and it's a beautiful opportunity. We also have intensives offered here at WinShape by Focus on the Family and Spring Life. They happen practically every week of the year. And we have a brand new experience that we're offering. And I describe it as, if you think about marriages on a scale of 1 to 10, and 1 to 3 is we just are looking for enrichment. We're in a good place, but we're looking for enrichment. We want to grow. And then you have 7 to 10, couples in crisis. You have this 4 to 6 in here where nobody's got a foot out the door. The marriage is not in crisis, but man, Like there's a level of intensity. There's a lot going on. You're dealing with aging parents and raising children, or you've got a big career move that has just got a lot going on with it. For those people, we have something called the Journey. And it is also a week-long experience, starts on Sunday evening and goes until Thursday at noon. And it's based on emotionally focused therapy. We have two therapists, and there's experiential learning, intentional play, date nights, and therapeutic sessions involved in this experience. And it has been transformational for the people who have had the opportunity to go through it. So really we have, our goal has been to provide something for people in every season of marriage that you might find yourself in. And we just look forward to seeing people here on this beautiful 27,000 acre campus.
Well, I want to say thank you on behalf of somebody that's been able to receive and also be trained from y'all. And also just thank you on behalf of stewarding the Kathy legacy and the impact that you're having. Thank you for your time today, Julie. It really means a lot to me and the blessings to all the listeners.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm honored to spend time with you, and I love the work that you're doing. So, thank you for this conversation.
It looks sunny out there, so
It is beautiful.
go enjoy the pickleball courts.
All right, I'll do it. You take care.
Bye. Thank you, friends, for being here today. My name is Lance Howard, business coach and leadership development for high-level faith-driven leaders. My goal is your flourishing, and my approach to developing executive leaders integrates the maximization of hope, gaining an outside perspective, devising practical strategies, and implementing measured discipline. This is all done with warm accountability aimed at achieving your desired outcomes. When you're making large financial decisions that impacts years of life, you need a trusted advisor to help guide you and to make a wise decision. What is executive business coaching? Effective coaching is pragmatic and outcome focused. It flows naturally according to your goals. It is conversational and rich with thought-provoking discussion. Pictured as a meaningful board meeting, an insightful chat with a close friend, a day of profound reflection, a session to recalibrate, and a stimulating brainstorming experience. It's both enjoyable and profound, tiring yet invigorating. Above all, it's having a trusted advisor right there beside you. My goal is your flourishing, to help you work less, earn more, and get back to what you love in life and in business. Now, when you're ready to have someone ride co-pilot with you on your leadership journey and business development, I would be honored to have a conversation with you to explore what it would look like for us to partner together for your flourishing. Peace and courage to you on your journey. I look forward to hearing from you soon.